Welcome to the Luxfer Group first quarter conference call. We will first hear from Chief Executive Brian Purvis, who will provide a market overview for the quarter, followed by Group Financial Director Andy Beeden, who will review the financial performance for the quarter. Brian will then return to sum up and offer an outlook. After that, Brian and Andy will be glad to take your questions. We request that you initially ask only one question. After you've heard the answer, we will give you the opportunity for a follow-up question. If you would like to ask additional questions, our operator will be glad to place you back in line. We now turn the call over to Brian Purvis.
Thank you. Well, good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Luxfer conference call on the first quarter of 2015. Unusually, we are speaking to you from the U.S., being here on one of our frequent visits to our North American plants. So please forgive us if there is a time lag on the slides, which are still being run from the UK. Time to slide four. There was much to be pleased about in performance during the first quarter, with our 2014 problem areas narrowing down to alternative fuel being the main area of continuing concern, but with corrective actions already started in that area. The other sectors that caused us particular problems in 2014 are recovering, with the important North American SCEA sector once again growing, and demand from US military powders improved. Unfortunately, the large movements in exchange rates over the last year between the US dollar, pound sterling, and euro are now a big factor in understanding the year-on-year tracking. Our new acquisition continues to perform well with 7.1 million of sales in the quarter, and our adjusted fully diluted EPS of 25 cents was slightly ahead of expectations, albeit still 3 cents below quarter one 2014. We continue to work to reduce working capital, and quarter one cash generation was again improved. Time to slide five. The North American market for SCBA kits looks set for a good year, with improved trading in quarter one, but with our customers, to our perception, still ramping up to meet deferred demand. When comparing with quarter one 2014, it is important to note that certain industrial catalyst orders fell into the first quarter last year. Orders from that development market are still intermittent, and this year we expect our main orders to come in quarter two and quarter three. We had some particular issues with a customer for our aerospace alloys in quarter one that depressed sales, but those are now resolved. Slide six. Partly due to the current low price of diesel, our AF business has continued to struggle, and as flagged in our last call, we have been working on ways to eliminate the operating losses caused by low sales while retaining an ability to expand the business as and when the market returns to growth, the timing of which is dependent to some extent on a recovery in the oil price. When the alternative fuel market looked set for strong growth in 2012 and 2013, we invested in additional capacity, including making two acquisitions in the sector. When planning the Dynatec purchase in late 2012, we had the intention to rationalize our manufacturing sites, but almost immediately all of our plants became very busy as the market demand rose rapidly. Since mid-2014, however, partly due to the collapse in the oil price, the alternative fuel market has been a problem for us. We have now resolved to rationalize AF cylinder manufacturing from four plants down to two at Calgary and Riverside. Calgary has demonstrated a good ability to control costs in line with demand, and at Riverside, the AF plant is alongside our portable composite operation, one of the most efficient plants in the industry, with the ability to share overheads and flex direct labor between the two operations. Our Utah facility, which had been intended as a center for Type 4 manufacture, has now been mothballed and the labor force laid off since the end of March. Some Luxfer Germany employees were also laid off during quarter one, but this was not in itself sufficient to stem the losses, and on Monday of this week, we announced our intention to cease manufacturing at our German plant by the end of 2015. This extended period is to ensure continuity of support to our customers and to allow time for our Canadian plant to achieve the necessary approvals to serve the markets and customers currently supplied from Germany. in the last 18 months with a general weakness in the European bus market, Luxor Germany has become overly dependent on bulk gas modules, where competition is fierce and the market dependent on large intermittent contracts. On slide 7, our rationalisation decisions have an impact on the quarter 1 results, and we will have further financial implications which we expect to be recorded in quarter 2. Manufacturing assets in Utah and Germany that are not being transferred to Calgary or Riverside and for which there is no immediate use have been impaired in the quarter 1 balance sheet, along with purchased goodwill and some inventory. The cash costs, mainly for severance payments, are recorded as they are incurred or committed, and so they are split between those that took place in quarter 1 and those that have been announced since the end of quarter 1. While we expect the bulk of this charge to fall in quarter 2, the actual cash expenditure will be spread over the balance of the year. Slide 8. The consolidation of Type 4 cylinder production into Riverside will bring immediate gains quarter 2 onwards. And despite the unhelpful market backdrop, our North American business is winning new customers for our recently launched Type 4 products. Overall, the North American AF business stream is expected to be profitable quarter 2 onwards. We are likely to continue losing money on AF in Europe during the balance of 2015. But our objective is to ensure that, post-rationalisation, we can at least break even at the current low level of sales, and with some sales growth, be profitable in 2016. We will not chase market share in the bulk CNG gas containment market, but we will retain the capability to handle such contracts and to respond to market growth when it recommences, as most observers believe that it will. Turning to the revenue slides, and slide 9 on Electron, the cerium surcharge has disappeared from our pricing structure. Stripping out the surcharge and also exchange rate movements, sales in the quarter are up by 9.6%. But this is entirely due to the Luxor Magtech acquisition, which continues to do well. Underlying sales in the division are down by 2.8% on prior year. This, however, is primarily due to strong first quarter sales of industrial catalysts last year, which are expected to come later in 2015. Lower magnesium alloy sales in the quarter are viewed as a temporary setback that we do not expect to be repeated. Encouragingly, sales of military powders are up on the prior year. Slide 10 in cylinders. The cylinder business continued to have difficulties in quarter 1, but this is now primarily in the alternative fuel business stream. Ignoring the impact of exchange rates, non-alternative fuel revenues were up 9.8% over prior year. Alternative fuel sales in the quarter were only $5 million, down from $12 million last year. Slide 11 on selected growth projects. We continue to supply material and technical data to a number of aerospace seat manufacturers, and we were encouraged by the appearance of prototype seat designs incorporating our Electron alloys at the recent Aircraft Interiors Expo in Hamburg. On Type 4 cylinders, although the market is weaker than desired, we are generating strong interest in our lightweight designs and gradually winning the additional business that we need to make our rationalised manufacturing base profitable. Slide 12, and the Synermag bioabsorbable magnesium stents continue going forward. Work mainly by our biotechnology partner continues towards CE approval at the end of 2016. On zirconium sorption technology, the US military appears very interested in our chemicals designed for decontamination, and a recent tender document allowed our material as an alternative to more traditional materials. We still need to go through first article testing, which we will only do once a contract is awarded. Andy Beadon will now take you through some of the detail on the quarter one results.
Thank you, Brian, and welcome everyone to the call. Brian covered the divisional sales analysis, and my first slide, slide 14, shows how that consolidates into the group revenue changes for Q1 2015. Total revenue for Q1 2015 was $116.9 million. With no separate rare earth chemical surcharge now required, after further falls in rare earth prices. and this compares to $122.4 million net revenue for Q1 2014. FX translation was a negative $8.6 million. So adjusted for this, underlying group revenue was in fact up $3.1 million. Luxor Magtech, which was only acquired at the end of July, added 7.1 in the quarter, but our AF revenues were also down in Gas Saunders by exactly the same amount, $7.1 million, when adjusted for FX. Therefore, sales revenue in our non-AF businesses were up 3.1. Slide 15 shows the trend in sales for Q1 2015 by geographic region, where sales in North America are well up, with stronger self-contained breathing apparatus sales and the additional Luxor Magtech sales. Asia Pacific was unusually strong last year with large AF bulk gas transportation sales. The current level is more normalized. The UK was slightly stronger in Q1 2015, but the rest of Europe was weaker. Turning to the trading profits and adjusted EBITDA result on slide 16, for Q1 2015, group trading profit was $10.5 million, being consistent with the last few quarters whilst the AF business has been so weak. And this compares to $12.3 for Q1 2014. Electron's result at $9.2 million was down on last year's Q1 of $10.7. The lower zirconium sales did impact profits, with different timings in the industrial catalysis sales from last year. FX changes also had a negative impact, in total reducing profit by $0.9 million. In magnesium, profits held up better, benefiting from the addition of Luxor Magtech, which offset a slower start to the aerospace sector sales, which we now expect to pick up through the rest of 2015. Adjusted EBITDA for Electron was $12.2 million, compared to prior year of $13.3 million. Gas Saunders trading profit for the first quarter of 2015 was $1.3 million. Down on the 1.6 for Q1 2014. Most of this difference could be explained by FX differences, which were a negative 0.2. However, last year, the AF businesses were profit-making in Q1 2014, but now they have become loss-making. The delta in trading profit for AF from Q1 2014 to Q1 2015 is approximately a reduction of $2 million. Most of this was offset with improved results from our composite self-contained breathing apparatus business, combined with some cost savings. Q1 2015 group adjusted EBITDA was therefore $15.4 million compared to $16.9 for Q1 last year. The Electron division's EBITDA being the 12.2 and Gas Cylinders 3.2. Group's EBITDA margin was therefore 13.2%. compared to 13.7 for Q1 2014. So turning to the full income statement and slide 17, gross margin was also lower, with Q1 2015 at 22.3% versus 23.4% last year. This was mainly a result of the shift in AF profits, the FX differences, along with timing differences in the industrial catalysis sales. Distribution costs at $1.8 million for Q1 2015 were $0.3 million lower than Q1 2014, mainly as a result of the lower exports to Asia Pacific, as I highlighted in the sales analysis. Administrative expenses were also lower at $13.8 million for Q1 2015 compared to $14.5 million last year. And this is after Luxor Magtech, which was only acquired in July. So it added in this quarter $1.6 million of additional costs. And so the actual fall in other costs reflects quite significant cost savings. Trading profit was $10.5 million, as previously explained. In the quarter, we have charged $8 million to restructuring and similar expenses. This all relates to the restructuring of the AF businesses. Of the $8 million, $0.5 million are cash costs for the cost of laying off employees, and the other $7.5 million relates to impairment of assets. This includes $1.8 million of inventory, $2.1 million of property, plant and equipment, and $3.6 million of intangibles. these all relating to the planned closure of the German manufacturing operations and the decision to mothball Utah as we consolidate manufacturing into Luxor, Canada and Riverside, with some assembly work too. As part of this cost-saving exercise, we expect to charge $3 to $4 million of further cash-related costs, again under the rationalization and similar cost line item. These types of costs could only be recognized once the rationalization was announced, which was after Q1 2015 closed. The objective being to generate cash savings per year of a similar value to the cash rationalization costs being incurred, to lower the break-even point of our AF operations. Operating profit, which is after restructuring and other exceptional items, was therefore $2.5 million for Q1 versus $12.3 for Q1 2014, where we had no rationalization activity. Below operating profit, I have broken out the elements of the IFRS finance charges, being as follows: net interest, which is $1.7 million in the quarter, $0.3 million higher, result of the increased debt to finance the Luxor Magtech acquisition. The notional IAS 19 retirement benefit finance charge, 0.7, which is the same as last year, plus 0.1 for the unwinding of the discounted deferred consideration on Luxor Magtech, and this is effectively part of the overall acquisition costs. In the appendices to this presentation, it's worth noting that we disclose our non-GAAP reconciliations for adjusted EBITDA, adjusted net income and EPS, and you can see in those that we strip out the figures for restructuring costs, acquisition and disposal items, and IAS 19 finance charges. In Q1 2015, we incurred a tax charge of $0.5 million, yet after the restructuring costs, our profit before tax was in fact nil. The actual underlying tax rate was 27% after you strip out the impact of the restructuring exceptional items. The tax rate distortion was caused by the restructuring costs in Germany, which did not lead to a tax credit due to tax losses in Germany. The Q1 last year tax rate was 28%. Statutory net income for Q1 2015 was a loss of $0.5 million compared to a $7.2 million profit for Q1 2014. But adjusted for the exceptional items and excluding the IAS 19 finance cost, Q1 2015 was an underlying net profit of $6.9 million compared to $8 million for Q1 2014. Fully diluted adjusted EPS was therefore 25 cents for Q1 2015, which compared to 28 cents for Q1 2014, being 1 cent above the Wall Street consensus for Q1 2015. The next slide, number 18, shows the consolidated balance sheet. It reconciles the key changes from December 2014 to March 2015. Overall invested capital in the operating businesses was $267.9 million, net of the pension deficits of $91 million as at the 31st of March 2015. The pension deficits are practically the same as at the year-end 2014, with FX differences offsetting a small net increase as a result of lower discount rates. Net debt, which is debt minus cash, was $105.8 million, a slight reduction on the year-end position of $106.8 million. FX differences due to the stronger US dollar reduced net assets by $7.8 million, and the rationalization activity reduced assets a further $6.4 million net of tax. Book equity was $159.4 million, which is also after providing for a $2.7 million quarterly dividend, which was actually declared in late March. Last year, it was declared in early April. Turn to cash flow on slide 19. Our operating cash flows in Q1 2015 were a positive $7.9 million, up on Q1 2014's positive $1.3. Working capital was an outflow of in Q1 2015, mainly as a result of high receivables when compared to December 2014. This was due to increased sales in March 2015. Working capital still remains higher than planned due to excess inventory caused by the disruption in demand in various European and US markets last year. Actions continue in 2015 to reduce working capital further. Investment cash flows were a net spend of $2.8 million in the quarter. We invested $6 million in Q1 2014. CapEx in property, plant and equipment at $2.5 million was low as we managed cash flow. Cash flow before financing was therefore an inflow of $5.1 million. After paying dividends and net interest of $4.4 million, we generated net cash of $0.7 million compared to an outflow of $9.9 million for Q1 2014. Cash at the end of the quarter was on the balance sheet was $15.7 million. Thank you, and I'll now hand you back to Brian to sum up.
Thank you, Andy. Summarising quarter one then, very different exchange rates from this time last year are complicating the reconciliation, but the underlying performance of our cylinder business is improving, with North American SCBA returning to growth, masked, however, but for the moment by continuing difficulties in our AF business, but decisive action has been taken to resolve that situation. The specialty materials side of the group reported a lower result than this time last year, but this is mainly down to timing issues, and the important US military market is looking stronger this year. Within the division, our new acquisition continues to perform as expected, and overall, our quarter one adjusted result was slightly ahead of expectations. The outlook for 2015, Electron remains highly profitable, and once the timing issues of the comparison with quarter one are behind us, we are counting on a full year of Luxfer Magtech results and an improved US military demand to improve results year on year. A significant opportunity for once nearer term exists for our zirconium-based decontamination products. The weakness of the euro is hurting the profitability of our European cylinder business and is a challenge on top of a continuing lackluster eurozone economy. But the North American side of the business is visibly strengthening. Alternative fuel losses are unlikely to be completely eliminated until later this year, but building on the fact that non-AF revenues were strongly up in quarter one, we still expect to improve on the 2014 cylinders trading result. Turning to slide 23, the principal headwinds of 2014 being the regulatory problems in the North American SCBA market and the customer difficulties in the military flare market have receded. We continue to focus on working capital and remain confident of improving our capital efficiency ratios over the course of the year. The weakness of the alternative fuel market and some particular customer issues mean that we will be a little slower to generate cash than previously indicated, but we are still working towards a good operating cash flow performance this year. With some key markets rising, we believe that we can drive an improvement in the profitability of both divisions over 2014. Albeit that, in the case of Cylinders Division, I accept that this is from a low starting point. We will be helped in this objective by cost reduction programs, particularly in our alternative fuel business stream. Although unlikely to contribute much in the way of sales in 2015, we do expect to achieve further milestones on a number of our strategic growth projects. While the economic and business environment continues to be challenging, it is good to see two of our long-term key markets at last showing signs of an upturn. Our actions to reduce the break-even point of our alternative fuel manufacturing facilities are planned to correct the economics of that business stream, even in current market conditions, and give us a relatively clean position on which to plan for further improvements in 2016 and beyond. Thank you, and we will now take questions.
At this time, I would like to inform everyone, if you would like to ask a question, please press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. Your first question comes from the line of Martin Englert of Jefferies.
Hi, good morning, everyone.
Morning.
Can you talk about the degree of FX headwinds that you would expect in coming quarters here on the top line, relative to how it was in 1Q here?
Well, we were... Last time round, we indicated that we were fairly well hedged for 2015. So the greater exposure is for 2016, and it's something that we'll have to consider when we're budgeting for 2016 as to the extent to which we have to put pricing into the marketplace to recover the situation. But Andy, can you want to?
Yeah. So you actually asked top line, which is more distorted, I guess, the profitability, because you've got the translation impact, which you can see in the first quarter was 8.6 million, nearly 9 million. So, you know, looking at that's caused by the movement in the dollar to primarily the, st- sterling, but also the euro. And if you look at the sterling dollar rates in this quarter to a year ago, I mean, the average was about 150. I think it was 151. And last year it was 166. So a 15 cents movement, and that caused a nearly $9 million impact to the top line. In terms of profitability, as Brian said, the other exposures we've got is actually making products in the UK and exporting it, say, into Europe, where the sterling has strengthened to the euro. And that could easily cost us $1 million a quarter and even more than that. I mean, it's 45 million euros of sales a year, but at the moment we're about 60 to 65% hedged for this year. And obviously we do have the ability to seek to put prices up, given it's a transaction risk. Does that clear up enough for you?
Yeah, I think so. It's fair to assume, though, that it would be a continued headwind, though, in the subsequent quarters here, relative to how we saw it in 1Q.
And I think it means that, for example, our revenue number is lower than, I think, the consensus, whereas the profitability was on line with the consensus, and I think that explains some of the delta in the top line.
I think there's still quite a bit of movement around. The last time I checked, the dollar sterling rate was back at 156, 157.
Yeah, it touched 157.
Where the average is, as Andy says, for the first quarter was 151 or thereabouts.
Okay. And if I could, one more. Within your guidance, I know last quarter you had spoke to improvement in the second half of the year, and it sounds like you're expecting an improved 2Q quarter over quarter. Would it be fair to assume that you're expecting sequential improvement for the remaining quarters of the year here?
Yeah, certainly. We do expect the remaining three quarters of the year to be a good step up from Q1 and recent quarters. So we're looking really for, to meet the consensus level, we're looking for sort of 29 to 30 cents a quarter on average. I think it's fair to say that we'd expect the average in the second half to be higher than in the second quarter, but we do expect a good improvement in quarter two.
Okay. Thank you much.
Okay.
Your next question comes from the line of Phil Gibbs of KeyBanc Capital Markets.
Good morning.
Hi, Phil.
Hi, Phil.
As far as the FX hit to the operating profit, was that number over $1 million year on year? I think you did a good job talking about what it was to the top line, but
yeah,
what was it to the bottom line?
It was 1.1.
Okay. Did those comparisons get easier as the year goes on, or those comparisons get tougher in terms of the profit comparisons?
It will get tougher to do with the exporting of goods which we make in the UK to Europe, because the hedges are higher at the start of the year and lower at the end of the year. But as Brian just pointed out, helping us the other way is that sterling does seem to be strengthening to the US dollar. So in this first quarter, sterling was very weak to the US dollar. I mean, averaging 151 and in some periods below 150. So whereas if you assume the euro sterling is, 140, then that would get tougher for us as we go through the year because of the hedging. But, I mean, you've also got to look at the dynamic of the dollar sterling. So I'd expect it to get tougher. But at the same time, as Brian has said, we're putting cost savings through and expecting those to come through to help on the other side.
Yeah, the main exposure, as Andy said, is to our UK operations, which make in sterling, buy in dollars, and export in euros. We buy very little in euros, so we're hedged about 60% this year, Andy.
Yeah.
And only about 25% in 2016 at the moment.
That's right. Yeah.
So our task really is to make sure that by the time we enter 2016, that we've recovered that to the extent that we can in pricing. And in the meantime, to cut costs wherever we can in the UK operations to hold margins. But it is quite a significant hit, but that has been factored into the guidance.
Yeah.
Okay. And then on the alternative fuel side, fair to say that you lost maybe about $1 million in the quarter, given the year-on-year profit change that you talked about?
Yeah, maybe a little bit more.
Yeah.
It was a fairly small profit quarter one last
year. Okay. So you'll be coming out of that as the year progresses. In terms of Electron, we should be expecting the ChemCat piece to pick up nicely, as well as the aerospace on the magnesium front.
Yes, we think aerospace should be back to normal quarter two onwards. And the ChemCat, we're certainly expecting to get good orders in quarter two, which they're already in the system, really. The quarter three, which I mentioned earlier, that could end up in quarter four, or spanning quarter three, quarter four, but certainly quarter two looks
Yeah.
strong, and the balance of the year will be better than quarter one. It's just that business at the moment is driven by occasional quite large orders. As it happens, in 2014, we got a lot of those in quarter one.
Yeah.
And this year, we're certainly going to get some in quarter two, and we expect others in quarter three, four.
Okay. Terrific. Thanks so much.
Okay.
Once again, if you'd like to ask a question, please press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. Your next question comes from the line of Ron Weiss of Credit Suisse.
Good morning, guys.
All right.
Hi.
Just want to touch on European demand, weak in Q1. Just wondering, currently, the current trends kind of showing the same thing as Q1, or are you seeing any pickup in any particular areas there? Just any color on that would be helpful. Thank you.
The European market has been pretty flat for quite some time. There is some commentary in the local press now about the Eurozone starting to show some signs of activity, but really, from our perspective, we're not seeing that at the moment. It's still pretty flat. I would say it's relatively stable and flat,
right,
but not really seeing much signs of an upturn.
Okay. And then just one more, just on the rationalization efforts, have you guys ever quantified the benefits that will come from that, and just the timing on when you guys could see those possible benefits?
Well, the rough indication that Andy gave on the way through was that, basically on the cash cost, we expect that to pay back in a little over a year, perhaps 15 months. So if we're paying, $3 million in cash expenses, we would expect to generate getting towards $3 million per annum of savings once those are fully implemented. So we do get some of that payback right away because of the expenditure made in quarter one, and the planned reduction in the workforce in Germany will be progressive, but some of it will extend right the way through to the end of the year. So the full benefit won't be achieved until we enter 2016. But we should get some benefit. We'll certainly get benefit in North America Q2 onwards, and we should get a progressive benefit in Europe, but with the big benefit coming when we actually manage to shut the German manufacturing facility at the end of the year and move into 2016. We could, in theory, do it a little faster, but it does take time to transfer approvals or get new approvals for customer designs and for the regulatory designs. And we want to ensure that we don't lose the market and lose customers just by doing this rationalization. It's not the intention to withdraw from the market. We want to retain as much as we can of the customer base. And so we're taking our time to make sure that we do it properly and don't disrupt the customers.
Great. Thanks for the color.
Okay.
Thank you. I'll now return the call to Brian Purvis for any additional or closing remarks.
Let's see. Is it worth just seeing if there's any other questions?
Once again, if you'd like to ask a question, please press star one. I'm showing no further questions at this time.
Okay. Well, thank you, ladies and gentlemen, and we look forward to talking to you sometime in early August on the quarter two results.
An encore recording of this conference call will be available in about 2 hours. Telephone numbers to access the recording will be available on the Luxfer Group website at www.luxfer.com. Thank you. You may now disconnect your lines and have a wonderful day.